Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for today. The Bible says money has an answer for all things, but there's one thing that money can't buy, is your salvation by grace through faith. Well, it was paid for, but it was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. So you can have all the money you want, but it won't buy eternal life with Christ. You can use it here on earth, but it's no good in eternity. You've already been bought with the blood of Jesus. You think about it. This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Come on up here. Amen. Praise God. We're coming to the end of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. So you need to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10. And every time I continue to read these passages, it just lets me know that, you know, it's really some decisions, church, that we have to make. We can't just sit back and keep lifting our voices to God without making decisions for God. We spend a lot of time saying the right things, but is it really in our heart to do the right thing? Are we really motivated by his goodness to move in a new direction? Romans 2 and 4 tells us that the goodness of God should lead us into a state of repentance. Repentance is simply, more importantly, not the godly sorrow for doing what you shouldn't have done, but taking the way of escape and doing what God has put before you to do. And it normally starts off with your thinking pattern. It normally starts off with your attitude. And I've been talking to a lot of saints this week in our body, and I'm truly amazed at those who can see and those who are still stuck.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk to all of y'all, and I have to pray for you, because you can parrot the scriptures, but the scriptures ain't in your heart.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because all you got to do is be challenged in that area of life that God's going to show that you ain't as far as you're supposed to be, and you do completely against what you just read. Mm.
Say
that. Yeah. I mean, we all go through that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You say you done learned some of this word of God, I can guarantee you within 24 hours you're going to be challenging that thing that you say you know.
Uh-huh. That's true.
All right.
That's true.
And God is not doing it to show you up. God is trying to test you to say if what you say is true about what you know. Mm-hmm. The intimate relationship with God requires us that we humble ourselves to what he says.
Uh-huh.
What he says is true. And every man is a liar. And every man by nature is a liar. But when we say what God says and take his position on the things of our lives, then we can live in victory. Chapter 10 is basically him going all the way back in time and saying, look, let me tell you a story that the Jews have went through.
Yeah.
They all were in Egypt. And I sent a savior to get them out, which was Moses. And they all were baptized under Moses. They all went across on dry land. They all ate of the food. They all drank of the drink, which is Jesus. They all, their clothes didn't wear out. But some took the liberty of being part of the all and decided to be an idolater. And he said, because they grumbled, because they didn't worship him as God. They built a calf at the first chance they got when they thought Moses was gone, that they went back to what they got delivered from. And that just shows me, 4,000 years ago, people were going back to what they've been delivered from. How much more do we go back to what God has delivered us from?
Come on now.
Come on, say it, say it.
God then provided you, then it goes down further, and it tells us that Jesus was the rock that they drank from. And he provided a pillar by a cloud by day and a pillar to keep them warm at night. He gave them everything they need, including meat and manna. And still, they don't understand the goodness of God should have led them to repent. Amen. It's a psychological thing. It's a heart thing. And even though they went through that, they still turned. And we got 4,000 years of history where they could not get it together because they would not humble themselves before the God that they said that they served. So you have incident after incident. And God always used the pagan, horrible nation to chastise his children. But even though they got chastised by the Assyrians, even though they got chastised by the Babylonians, even though they got chastised by the Romans, no matter what God would do to provide a way for escape, the escape was short-lived because they would go back. Liberty becomes dangerous when you don't be accountable and responsible for the liberty that you have. You're free, but don't use your freedom to put you back in bondage. Then we go down, and he capsulizes the whole human experience in a couple of sentences. He says, everything that you go through is common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yes.
What you saying, Lord? You mean I was raised by mother and father that hated me, and it's common? Yeah.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying that about my parents. I'm just using the example because that ain't my parents.
Right.
I was in a bad marriage. That's common.
That's right.
I had people that didn't like me talk about me because I'm fat, skinny, ugly, tall, short. Yeah, that's common.
Okay. All right.
That's true.
Well, Lord, it's personal to me, so it's common.
Yeah.
And it's the commonality that God is saying. Even though it's common, I gave you an extraordinary way to escape what's common.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to stay in commonality of your circumstance, incident, and accident. You can come out because why? He said, I will always provide you a way and escape.
Yes, yes.
And if he provides you a way to escape, now it's back on you.
That's right.
You see how you're not going to get out of being accountable for whatever. If your bad attitude, common.
Mm-hmm.
Your unforgiveness, common.
Mm-hmm.
Your bitterness, common. But I gave you a way out. Why don't I'm not feeling it? You don't need to feel it. You need to come on out.
That's right.
Whoa. Well, and I get it, saints. It's a hard thing. To walk in the power of the resurrection. It's a hard thing to really walk in. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Because some of us are so used to being so commonly miserable, that's the way we are. Just the nature of who we are. There was a man who had a dog, and the kids used to pass the dog every day going to school, and the dog just sitting there barking, ain't moving, just barking, roo roo roo, roo roo roo, and the man sitting on the porch, and the kids finally say, why is he barking? Every time we go to school, he barking. We come back, he barking, and he ain't moving. The man said, you know what? When I built this porch, I hammered some nails, and some of the nails must have hit some metal, and they turned up. And the dog was used to laying here. And the dog was laying here all the time and was comfortable laying here. But the nail came up through the wood, but you know what? The dog still liked to lay here.
All right.
And the nail is hitting the dog, and the dog is barking in pain, but the dog is comfortable laying here. Some of you are comfortable laying in the places of your pain.
Yeah, that's good.
You don't want to admit it. You know not to tell me that. You're not going to tell somebody that you have become comfortable in your pain. But it's not, but it ain't painful enough for you to get up and do something about it.
Thank you.
I got a whole bunch of things I can harp on personally. But I choose to be a victor. I choose to walk in victory. I choose to be a man that's going through life and with all the problems that I've had and still have, I choose to serve God and say it don't make no difference because it's all common.
That's right.
I have issues that you don't have. You have issues that I don't have. But I love the commonality of them all. Jesus said, I died for them all.
Yes.
I rose that you may have victory over them and more things. But you got to believe. You have to have faith. And your faith is going to be exercised by testing. So he says, I'm going to test you, but I'm not going to tempt you. I'm going to test you. And if I test you, I've given you the answers. But you only tempt it when you don't take my answer and do what you want to do. So let's go down to chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. And I'm going to paraphrase that. Verse 23, he said, all things, chapter 10, are lawful for me. But all things are profitable. But all things are lawful for me. But all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things don't build up. So what is he telling us? He's saying you can use your liberty in a way that profits, or you can use your liberty in a way that hinders.
Amen.
All right.
You can do what you want to do, saints. But what should constrain you to do what God has called you to do is the love of God himself.
Amen.
Yes.
So when we move the way God wants us to move, we can be helpful. That means I shun those things that don't bring glory to God.
Amen.
And what I do is build up. I'm not building up me. I'm willing to build up you. And that's going to mean I'm going to have to sacrifice myself for you.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to have to tell you about the way out so you can come on out. But it's still ultimately up to you. How far do you want to get out of this? God is not a God that's a half deliverer. He's a full deliverer. He even said, if you grab hold of this plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. You know why you're not fit for the kingdom? Because you would rather look back at where you've been instead of look at where God has taken you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pastor, I know it's hard. Quit. Life's hard.
Yeah.
It's
coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
If there's a person on this earth that don't get out of here with no problem, let me know who they are. And we see even the chasing of wealth causes its own set of common problems.
Yeah. Because
see, you can get all the money you want in the world and still not be helpful and still not build people up. Because you get so centered on the money, which is the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. Money is neutral. But when you start idolizing money and making money, the bag, the coin, and all those phrases that life's about, then what happens is you push God aside and there's no way to escape but take your money from you.
All right.
That's a personal story.
Yeah.
See, some of us have to go through because our head is so hard. We won't see the warning signs. Because what we're doing, we're carrying too much sin to see even the glimpse of the light of the way out. But God in his love and mercy, he has a way to break you down to where you're going to see him or reject him. That's why salvation is always now, Pastor Purdy.
Amen.
If you would listen to the sound of my voice and God says, you know what? You decided you're tired of living under sin. You're tired of being under bondage. You're tired of not walking in victory. Then there's a Jesus that gave you a way out.
Amen.
He died for your sins.
Yes.
So no, all things are lawful for me. I can do anything I want to do. And all things not profitable. But why aren't all things profitable? Steve, go to 10, 32, and 33. Read that.
1 Corinthians 10:32, or starting at 32. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved.
So think about this. We always say people pleasers, but there's a difference between being a people pleaser and trying to not seek your advantage. See, the key what Paul is saying, there's nothing wrong with being a people pleaser if you're trying to seek their advantage.
Right.
See, because most of the time people trying to be a people pleaser, they're trying to seek their advantage. But Paul is saying, under God, you can want to please everybody. You can three types of people. I don't want to give offense to Jews. I don't want to give offense to the Greeks. And I don't want to give offense to nobody in the body of Christ. And if I can, I'm going to edify you and lift you up so that possibly you'll decide to lift somebody up that they can be saved.
Amen.
The end goal is the only goal.
That's right.
How you live out your life will depend, as a saint of God, will depend on how you being conforming to Christ and living a Christ-like life. And a Christ-like life is full of sacrifice. Christ-like life is full of pain. Christ-like life is full of shortcomings. Christ-like life is full of people talking about you. Christ-like life is full of common things that you won't go through.
Come on, Pastor.
And you trying to get out of what God is trying to put you in to say, you can handle it. Because before you handled it, I already handled it.
That's right.
I already handled it. So I don't try to offend anybody, knowing that I'm going to offend somebody. But the point of offense is not to offend. And what we get just confused is, well, how do we deal with issues? Honestly? The only way for you not to be concerned about somebody else is walking this thing called grace. And grace does, when you give somebody grace, and see, you have a juvenile understanding of what grace means. Grace does not mean you don't deal with it. Grace is a how you deal with it.
Right.
I'll say it again. Grace don't mean you stick your head in the sand if there's an offense and don't deal with it. Grace is how you deal with it.
That's right.
Grace don't mean you don't tell the truth about what it is. If you stole from me, you stole from me.
Right.
If you hurt my feelings, you hurt my feelings. And it's lawful for me and righteous of me to come against you. But there's somewhere in that Bible where it says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. So I'm not going to respond to you in a way that you may deserve it, but who am I to say what you deserve? But I do know one thing, I can respond to you in grace. And what does grace look like when somebody's offended you? You tell them that you've offended them, and you tell them about Jesus. You put on their mind something that you're, because they ready for the fight.
Right.
They ready for the fight. But they're not ready for grace and mercy. They're not ready for you to look at them and say, you know what? You hurt my feelings, but you know what? I still love you. I still don't want nothing to happen to you. I still want you to achieve. I still want, and then you say something real crazy like, what can I do to help you? So Steve, what you're telling me is, I've offended you, I did wrong by you, and you want to help me? Yeah. Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory.
That's right.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You decide every day and every minute how much you're going to walk in the grace of God. We say that he renews his mercies every morning.
Yes, we do.
And let me tell you this. Why he renewing his mercies? He giving you abundance of grace.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to say that again. Why he's renewing, he's giving.
Yes.
And he gives you more than you need. He gives you enough that, you know, it's okay to share it with somebody else. It ain't like he's not going to give you more tomorrow. If you open your eyes tomorrow, God is giving you more grace and more mercy.
Yes, he has.
And he didn't hold it back. And if, think about this. Because it's unmerited, both sides of the equation, you can't even earn it if you wanted it to.
All right.
So he give you more regardless of what you do. Because when you're acting out of the will of God, you get mercy. And you still get some favor. Because see, I ask people all the time, they think coming to church does something. My question to you is, God has been blessing you when you wasn't coming to church.
All right. Come on, man.
Because guess what? There's a thing called common grace that all of us get, sinner and saint alike. But there's an extraordinary grace that only we get.
Yes.
We get the forgiveness of sins. We get the adoption into a family. We get to build treasures up in heaven. We get the powerful Holy Spirit that reigns in us. We get the truth of God. We get the relationship with Jesus. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. See, you can't do that unless you're saved.
Amen.
You can't do that. It's common. But by the fullness, go to John 1:16. Let's see about this fullness. See if Pastor not knowing what he's talking about this fullness of grace. And you get more grace because of his fullness. You don't get more grace because you need it. You get more grace because who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Let's see who he is. Go ahead. 1:16, John.
For from his fullness.
From where?
From his fullness.
His fullness. Say fullness, saints.
Fullness.
You know what that means? It never run out.
Amen.
Amen.
No matter when you look at Jesus, he got fullness. He's full of mercy, full of grace, full of righteousness, full of power. It's never not being on full with Jesus. From fullness, what do we get?
We have all received grace.
Hold on. How many of us?
All.
Now think about this. They all walked with Moses. They all ate of the manna. They all got fed. So just like they all got the privilege of God's grace, we get the privilege of God in the church. We all. Read that we all again.
We have all received grace upon grace.
We have all received what? Grace upon grace. Common grace, extraordinary grace. Common grace, salvific grace. Common grace, sanctifying grace. We all receive this. But see, the key is you can receive it and not appropriate and use it. You still working under the commonality versus working under the extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
So when you say you're thankful for waking you up this morning, I get that. Amen. But there's so much more to your life beyond waking you up. It should be.
Yes.
He woke you up so you could have an experience of the extraordinary. Yeah. You can have experience of the fullness. Yeah. You can have this grace upon grace. Yeah. You're still working on yesterday's testimony. And last year's testimony. And testimony 25 years ago. You telling me God hasn't been so good to you that you don't have a testimony right now?
Come on, man. Yes, sir. Right this minute.
Right this minute, I got some testimony. And sometimes the testimony you got is through enjoying somebody else's.
Yeah.
It's through enjoying somebody else's testimony. Go to 1 Peter 4:10. Go ahead.
As each has received a gift.
See, as each is, and I want you to think about grace. Mm-hmm. As each of us receive the gift of grace, what?
Use it to serve one another.
Uh-oh. Well, when we went back to Corinthians, he said he doesn't serve himself. He does everything to help somebody else. Now God is saying, I didn't gave you a gift, and the gift is just not for you. It's that you should serve other people.
That's it.
You want to talk about a ministry? The ministry ain't for you. Your ministry is for God's people. Do you, are there some benefits to you? Yeah. Peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. Because you've been kind, you've been long-suffering, and you've been patient. Not only with the people of God, but with yourself.
Yes.
Some of you put undue stress on yourself to be something that only God can make you. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you want to be it externally, but you don't want to submit to God internally. And you're at a point where you're bumping your head against the wall because God say there's gonna be another level of sacrifice you got to do to go to that next level with me. There's gonna be another level of submission that you're gonna have to do. And 9 times out of 10, it's dealing with the people that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you not like nobody? Because last time I checked, even the reason I like them, don't like them, or they don't like me, is what? Common.
All right, come on.
See, when you start making stuff common, it don't have the impact. You are ignorant towards me because ignorance is common. See, then you can laugh at them because you understand where they're coming from. See, once I understand where you're coming from, then I know that I'm being tested to look at you like somebody who needs salvation or a saint that needs to mature and walk in a higher level of sanctification. Mm-hmm. So the person who unsaved can be mean to you, and a person who saved can be mean to you. First thing you do is say, it's all common. Yeah. Now what you want to do for the person who is unsaved, you want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. All things are lawful. But all things are helpful. So you want to purposely be helpful. And the way you be helpful is give them the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Now for the person who's saved, you want to build them up.
Yes.
You want to edify them. You want to strengthen them.
Yes.
Same offense, 2 different types of people, but same God.
Mm-hmm.
Same God. 1 Peter tells, read that again.
As each has received a gift,
mm-hmm.
use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.
So now God is saying, when you get the gift of grace, how are you going to use it? Because stewards take care of it. Stewards use it. Stewards magnify it. Stewards grow it. So God is saying, as you receive this gift of grace and mercy, and he even says, if you want mercy, give mercy.
Yeah.
So as you do this with people, then God is saying, to be a good steward is, I'm going to check your bank account to see if you're giving it away what I gave you.
All right.
Yeah.
You know why I'm going to check your bank account? Because I'm full. And you should be full. What you mean? He says I'm a joint heir of God. So why aren't I full of grace? Why aren't I full of mercy? Or for why ain't I? I have no reason not to walk in forgiveness.
That's right.
None whatsoever. You cannot justify not forgiving.
Amen.
Because whatever you went through is what?
Common.
You see, you can't beat God with God's logic. You just can't find a way out. You looking for a way to escape God, and God's saying, I'm trying to get you a way to escape my wrath. I'm trying to give you a way to escape from what I'm going to punish you with disobedience. You don't need, only reason you need to be chastised because you're doing what you want to do. That's the only reason you're being chastised. And you can do what you want to do. Just like God is full of grace and mercy, he know how to bring you to the woodshed. And if God is not bringing you to the woodshed when you're not under acting in the grace, mercy, humility, and sacrifice, then you might not be none of his.
Mm. All right.
You can come to church and still not be none of his.
Yes. Mm.
You can come to Bible study and not be none of his. You can know the Bible from back and forth and forth and back and parrot it like nobody else, and you still be none of his.
Yes.
Because it has to be in your heart.
Yes.
Right.
It has to be deposited in your heart. It has to humble you.
Yeah.
Tell allows us that we can have this relationship with the power of the resurrection that only comes through Jesus Christ. It tells us that he didn't wait for us to get right. He said, while we were still yet sinners, while we were still sinners, while we still was afar off, while we still was an alien to the things of God, he sent his son to die so that those who are far off might come close. But then in your attitude, whatever you're going through is too much for you to come close to God. You like staying right where you at, like that dog on the porch. You're barking, you're barking, you're barking. Get up and come to God.
Amen.
Get up and move towards God. Because he said, if you move towards me, I'll move towards you.
Amen.
The prodigal son's story is about a God. Not the, it ain't even about that boy. It's about a gracious father that when he sees his son afar off and coming home, he starts running towards his son. He's a son. He was a son when he was in the pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
He was a son when he was in the pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a pig. He was a son
yeah.
that had went astray.
Mm-hmm.
But the father sat in forgiveness and waited till his son came home. He said, one day my son gonna come to himself. I'm going to have faith that my son going to come to himself.
Thank you.
And then come on home. You ain't got a faith that God can deliver you from that bad thinking you got. God is saying, you can have a better relationship with me, but you got to drop some stuff off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to leave it right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand. I understand. But it's still coming. But God, you know they make up. Again, daughter, son, I understand. But aren't I your God?
Yes.
Am I not the one who died on the cross for you? That you can be more than an overcomer through me who strengthens you. So are you telling me that my death didn't do enough for you to overcome what is common? Think about that. That's almost like blasphemy.
Amen.
You're saying in your selfishness, in your ego, that whatever God has sacrificed ain't enough for you. You need another sacrifice. And then maybe I can let it go. I can forgive. I can move on from this thing. God, do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not a trick.
Oh, my word.
Then you got the nerve as a saint to pray against somebody like a fool.
Ooh. Yes.
How dare you use God as your personal hitman?
Come on. Come on.
These are saints I'm talking about, Minister K.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about the unsaved party. I hear this from saved folk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You think you're fooling me or fooling others who are mature in Christ when you say you're praying against that spirit. No, you ain't. You're praying against that person.
That's right.
You can tell, you can lie to me. You can lie to me, but see, God had already showed me. You know how to wrap it up in Christian language.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Help us,
church folk.
Mm-hmm.
You know you want something to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen saints be happy when something happened to their adversary.
Oh my God.
See, look at God. He did, look at God. Yeah. Look what he did to them. Because of me. And Jesus said he could have called down legions of angels if he wanted to. But you don't like that teaching, because what that does is make you accountable for the next thing you're going to say out your mouth. It'd be better if you just keep your mouth shut sometimes.
Amen.
Saying all that church stuff that actually contradicts God's emotion, God's feelings, God's power. All it does is make you powerful. But then again, what it does is just show you still a fool.
Mm-hmm.
A fool to your own ego.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We are supposed to know no man after the flesh anymore. We're supposed to look at them in two ways only. a soul to be saved or a soul to be edified. And we know whatever they go through, the minute that I can identify it as common, I'm well equipped now to give them the solution. The solution is found in these scriptures somewhere.
That's right.
4,000 years of history dealing with the Jews and mankind. That issue there. Bad parents, bad kings, bad prophets, bad people.
Yes. Yeah.
Disasters, earthquakes, famines. Uh-huh. Answer still is God. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
God said he's not going to leave us without a witness. What is he witnessing to? How good God is. Amen. Even those who are chosen out of the Bible to be the good ones, the Joshua, the Calebs, they still had to walk 40 years in the wilderness. See, because you're called by God don't mean to the... Okay, let me slow this down. Because you're called by God in the time frame that you called in doesn't mean you will not have to walk out the suffering with the people that you're supposed to minister to.
All right.
You're not above the suffering. You just contain the answer to endure the suffering. Isn't that what he said? He give you a way of escape that you may endure it.
Talk about it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Y'all got to see this. Those who think they're called to ministry really realize what you're called to. You're called to a suffering way. So you don't need to, if you don't want to really do this, even as a saint of God, really realize it's okay. It's just that the relationship, you won't be able to have the best relationship you have because your humility meter is not really working.
Mm. All right.
When you don't move towards God and sacrifice, it's your humility, it's your ego. I ain't got to. All things are lawful. do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But it hurts when you hear from a saint of God and you're just listening to him talk. They think they're saying something. And I'm learned, I'm not so quick to correct it. I got to start praying for you.
Amen.
I'm praying for those who are called the children of God that don't know how to move in the spirit for real. You know what moving in the spirit means? That means that your everyday walk exhibits the glory of God.
Yeah.
You just read that everything that we're gonna be a good steward. Why? Because everything we do is gonna be to the glory of God. God is gonna be glorified, man is gonna be edified. It didn't say that you, as the person who delivers, not going to suffer. See, you don't want to suffer.
That's it.
Because what you want to do is not only have the answer, but be the one who they come to all the time for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So now you make an idol of yourself.
Yeah.
I got to listen to so-and-so, and I got to listen to so-and-so. Only good they're doing you is if they redirecting you saying, I'm just a microphone. Go to the Jesus. Go to the God who give me what to say.
That's right.
We are guides, not gods.
Amen.
Okay?
Hallelujah.
I'm not your God. I don't have a relationship with God that you can't have. And whatever you think I have, don't do that. Just have your relationship with God.
That's right. That's right.
Live by these principles that we're studying every day that are prescribed in the Bible. That are not a descriptive things that get you to the prescription.
Wow.
That's how you call rightly divide the word of truth. And every time I get deep into God, it gets more simpler to me.
Yes.
Suffering, humility, sacrifice, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, willing to give my enemy a cup of water. It's all about us being a sacrifice like our Lord was a sacrifice for us. So you can't tell me how powerful you are unless you walk in humility. You can't tell me how powerful you are in scripture unless I see a sacrifice.
All right.
Don't tell me about you healing sick people when your heart is mean. Mm.
Wow.
I don't want to hear all that foolishness.
Mm.
Y'all telling people, oh, they really anointed and appointed. All you got to do is start looking. They start looking like they start, you know, idolizing them. Y'all say that. We all anointed.
Amen.
The last time I checked, Pastor Percy said we were all baptized into Christ.
Oh, man.
You can't get no more anointed than that.
That's right.
You're not using good words. Maybe they have a gift that you see in them. But they're not more anointed than you.
Amen.
That's right.
Because God is the giver of all good gifts.
Yes, he is.
That's what he said. He said that. Take it up with him. He said, I'm going to give all good gifts. And then he says, how are we supposed to deal with each other? We're supposed to welcome people into the family of God because he welcomed us in, just like Christ. You want to be like Christ? Welcome somebody.
Amen.
Put your arms around them. Tell them, come on out of that thing. It's going to be all right. You need some help? I'll be here to help you. But I'm going to help you get out. I'm not going to help you stay in.
Come on.
Yeah, sometimes I got to be frank with you. That's the grace of God. I want somebody to tell me the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
Then butter me with lies.
Come on.
You got to decide today, saints. You're not going to sit on the porch and keep barking. You got to decide today that you're going to be sacrificial. You're going to be humble. You're going to serve God and be a good steward of the grace that he gives you because he gives you grace upon grace. My thing is, you talked about the grace, which is common. Now he says, I give you more grace to do something with, and I'm going to check to see what you can do with my grace.
Come on.
I'm going to ask you, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? And how did you represent me on earth? Because you're my ambassador. So how did you represent me to people? Not dealing with a situation is not grace.
Right.
Okay.
That's not grace. That's it. It's how you deal with it is grace.
Yes.
You deal with everything with truth.
Yes. Amen.
He said Moses came with the law, but Jesus Christ came with grace and truth.
Amen.
So unless there's truth on it, you don't activate. You can't activate grace until you activate the truth.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah.
Because then you're trying to put grace on a lie because you don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It turns into a lie quick because the truth hasn't been told yet. Once the truth is told, now we can work on how grace is going to be administered. And sometimes tough love is a measure of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is not giving a person what they want. Grace is finding a solution to give them what they need to come out of the situation that they're in.
That's right.
And that takes maturity. Sometimes it just takes you telling the truth and backing off and praying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes you might have to tell the truth over and over again. Right, some of y'all?
Amen.
Uh-huh. I told you what to do 7 times. Then after God tell me, God say, it ain't you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can say, okay, what you want me to do, God? He said, just pray for them.
Amen.
I'll deal with them. And then I said, you know what? Let me run to him first.
Exactly.
And I do it 7 times.
Right.
Let me just do it once.
Mm-hmm.
And run to him.
Mm-hmm.
And say, God, these are your people.
That's
I did my part.
Right.
Somebody else come water. Because my nerves are getting shot. But then God said, how? Now watch this. My nerves are getting shot. God said, don't you think mine was?
Yeah.
You see how quick things can just check you like.
Yeah.
Your nerves being shot is what? Common. I love God. I love Jesus. I'm gonna show you how this last scripture, I'm gonna show you how you're supposed to treat each other. Go to Romans 15, verse 7. And this is gonna wrap up 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're gonna go over to 11. And that's when it's gonna get tough. Go ahead.
Romans 15 and 7.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God.
See, we even welcome one another for the glory of God. So when Journey walks in her and hugs everybody, guess what Journey doing? She giving the glory to God.
Come on in.
All right now.
Yes.
You walk in with your head down.
Mm-hmm. She's fired up.
Kay trying to get you to praise and worship, and you sitting there still gossiping. You know, your pastor hear everything. I'm not being serious, but I hear everything. I'm like, we in praise and worship. You still over there. Well, you know what you do, yeah.
I know
you do, pastor. Come on, y'all. You giving glory to God, talking about what you did yesterday? No, you should be now. This should be a time where you are so laser focused on glorifying God in worship, in fellowship with the saints. It's like you walk through that door, leave that out there. You can ask them that out on the parking lot.
Go ahead.
That's right.
You call them on the phone and ask them all them questions. Or get here early.
Amen.
But we're supposed to welcome each other like Christ is welcoming us with no preconceived condition other than we want to glorify God and edify them.
Amen.
Think how beautiful the world would be if everybody thought that way. Mm-hmm. If those over there in Ukraine and Russia thought that way.
Come on.
If those over there in Israel and Palestine thought that way. Mm-hmm. If those over in China and the Philippines in Taiwan thought that way. If those in Africa, in the warring countries in Africa, somebody got up and say, you know what? Let's put this down and let's find the commonality of our enemy. It ain't each other. It's the devil that's getting us warring against each other. It's our ego that won't let us be together. We speak in the same language, but we can't get along.
Yeah.
Because they don't think what they're going through is common. It's super special. But I'm telling you what, I serve a God who's super special. I'm used to dealing with commonness and uncommon. He's a God that looks real low. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're in, no matter how much you fail, you only fail when you don't get up. Mm-hmm. You only fail when you don't move forward. You're only hindered by your own imagination. There's no ritual that you need to do to get right with God other than to come to him by faith. Mm-hmm. You need to exercise and strengthen your faith. You need to see the test and the glory of God in simple things and not always looking for the gigantic thing. Yes. Because life is quite boring. Yes, it is. It's not always cotton candy and fireworks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just the mundane things in life. And just when you do what you're supposed to do to help somebody else, God will show up and show you. I'm going to honor that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to honor your sacrifice.
Amen.
I'm going to honor your suffering. I'm going to honor your faithfulness. You have every right to be mad at this moment about what you're doing and how you're doing it. But guess what? You're doing everything to the glory of God. Whether I eat or drink, I'm doing it to the glory of God. And when you do everything according to the glory of God, guess what? God honors himself because it is his word and he can't lie.
Amen.
Can't lie. Won't lie. Very graces. Grace all over the place. You just got to grab some. Grace all over the place. It's all in you.
Yeah.
Turn the spigot on full and sit back and see what God does.
Come on.
But you can't do it because you want to see what God does. You want to do it to benefit somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your motive right.
Yep.
That's right.
Because if your motive ain't right, then it won't have the effect on you that it needs to have. All right? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. You have a fullness of grace, and you give us grace upon grace, and you renew us our mercies every morning. So, Lord, as we move forward through the scriptures, let us be reminded how good you've been to us. And realize no matter what struggle we go through, it is just common to man. But we serve an uncommon God. It's Jesus Christ in us and all of us who are called upon to be saints of God. It's Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the power that you've given us. We have the imputed righteousness that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and worship you. You are our Savior that identified with our sufferings and that makes you the perfect person to intercede for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We thank you that you're interceding for us, and we thank you that you just a God and you God all by yourself. Lord, teach us, humble us. Teach us how to sacrifice and walk in the power of grace and mercy. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Okay. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.